Guess who we have tonight? That kid that in order to get attention from everybody, you know, some kids just lay and kick their feet against the wall, you know, even, you know, they break dishes, they do all sorts of things to get attention. Not this kid. She decides that she'll go into the hospital. I don't think they ever found anything wrong with her. I don't think they found anything wrong with her. I don't think. But she was in there for quite a while and got a lot of attention. She liked it so well, she went to another hospital and stayed there for a couple weeks, getting attention. And now, I'm going to expect each one of you to give her a lot of attention. Because Julio's supposed to be up here. Where is he? Julio, you're supposed to be up here. You promised that whenever you were needed, you would be here. So why don't you come up? Slide up, meet your Julio. See this? Now look at this. Now see, he was gonna pretend he hadn't been ordered to come and help her come up here. But watch this. It's Lindy! Woo! Guy to hold her hand and lift her to her feet. I learn a lot from her.
I'm working on getting them to lift me to my feet so that then they can learn how to sweep me off them. What Millie was trying to say was, I just got out of rehab. It's true, I did. Rehab hospital for the weakened, confused, dazed, and otherwise in need of rehab. It all began in the fall. No, it all began with a fall. On August 22nd, I bounced my face off the sidewalk outside of the Old Town Mexican Cafe. Now, you think that's an exaggeration, but it's not. I bounced my face off the sidewalk, and God protected me with that air cushion that God protects us with, and I had one black eye to show for my experience. That and a free, well, paid by insurance ride to Mercy Hospital in an ambulance, where they discovered there was nothing wrong with me. 1 week later, I was in Las Vegas, in a cabana at the Monte Carlo poolside. Yeah, it was great. What I learned there was what happens in Vegas doesn't stay in Vegas. So in case you believe those ads, take it from me, it's not true. What happens in Vegas does not stay in Vegas. Here's how I know. I got in the wave pool. Now, I'm not the most stable adult in the world, and I mean physically as well as mentally. I know you were leaping to the mental conclusion, but I was referring to physically. And the littlest of waves knocked me over, and I was in water just up to my head when I was sitting on the ground in the bottom of the pool, just up to the top of my head. And I did not have a near-death experience, so I can't say that I was near death. But I sure did have a lot of waves going over my face. And I was down for the fourth or fifth time when my sister-in-law looked at me and she said, no, I was not okay. What was her first clue, I wondered? Anyway, she got a couple of tourists, because the wave pool was full of tourists, to help me up, and then the lifeguards came and escorted me back to our cabana. Now, suffice it to say that the cabana was way more fun than the wave pool, even without being nearly drowned. The cabana was about how much could we eat and drink, and boy, we had a hard time doing it to the minimum required. There were 8 of us, and we couldn't meet our minimum tab. Not for lack of trying, I will say. They had a drink called Miami Vice. In other parts of the world, it's called a lava flow. Wish we'd found them earlier in the day, then we would have met our minimum for sure. But anyway, I was there with three young women, my nieces, and a friend of theirs. And I came back to the cabana with two handsome lifeguards, one on each arm. And I said, look what I've got. I didn't say I nearly drowned. I said, look what I've got. One was Hunter the Great, and one was Stetson. Now, I'm telling you, I think they made their names up. I think they made them up on the spot because they wanted to remain anonymous. Being seen with a 64-year-old woman. And it was a bad hair day for me, too. But anyway, my nieces said, we better be spending more time with Annie Boo because she has better luck with the men than we do. And that was the intent of my nearly drowning in the wave pool, of course, was to catch two lifeguards and take them back and, yeah, right, whatever. Well, that was the week before Labor Day, the last week of August. So between the 22nd of August and the 29th of August, I had fallen at the Old Town Mexican Cafe and I had fallen in the wave pool at the Monte Carlo in Vegas. What else could happen? Millie says in her life, things come in twos, but I know better. So I thought nothing of it when I came down with what I thought was a cold or flu on Labor Day weekend. The fact that I was coughing and spitting up brown sputum didn't mean anything to me because I had been told it's bad if it's green, but anything else, it's fair game. Take it from me, brown is bad. Very bad, yeah. Even if you haven't been eating chocolate. So I proceeded to medicate myself with aspirin and lots of liquids and stayed in bed for Labor Day weekend. And took off Tuesday after Labor Day weekend as well. And on Monday, I called Linda Palos, and she came over and brought me some food and a fan because I was really hot. Now, if you remember the days of Labor Day weekend and immediately after, it was really hot. But I was really hot. I thought nothing of it except that I needed a fan. So Linda brought me a fan and a tuna sandwich from Subway, and that was a lifesaver. Then on Wednesday, that was Monday of Labor Day weekend. Then Tuesday, she came again and brought me some additional food and some juice and whatnot. And I was still hot, even with the fan. So I thought, I better take my temperature. Now, coincidentally, on the previous week after my trip to Vegas, I had bought a lot of groceries and accoutrements at CVS, including a temple thermometer, which is something you stick on your temple and it's supposed to tell your temperature. Now, I'd been using it all day, Monday and Tuesday, and it was random, the results. It was anywhere from 97.1 to 99.5, everywhere in between. Nothing definitive, no pattern, no real idea of what was going on. So I thought I was fine. I had a fan. I was hot, but I had a fan. I should have come to church. I have a lot of fans here. But on Wednesday, I finally figured out how to use the temple thermometer. And I got it to give me the same reading two times in a row, and it was 102.1. Well, darn. It could have told me that 2 days earlier, and I would have been at the emergency room 2 days earlier. But as it turned out, my ride to the emergency room had been in Vegas 2 days earlier and wasn't home to take me anyway. So I called Vancine, my ride to the hospital, traditional, you know. I'm the only person I know that has a traditional ride to the hospital. But it's true. It's true. And she had just gotten home from Vegas about an hour before I called. And I said, I need to go to the emergency room. And she said, what do you mean? I said, this ridiculous thermometer says I have 102 fever. She said, I'll go to CVS, buy a new thermometer, and be right there. So she brought a traditional thermometer, although digital. It's the kind you stick under your tongue, not... And it said 102.1. I thought, what a coincidence. So we went to the emergency room. Now, I don't know if any of you have been to the Mercy emergency room lately. But my experience of the Mercy Hospital emergency room is you go, they take your name and they take your symptoms, and then they sit you down and you wait for about 4 hours. Or 6 hours or 8 hours. Well, I staggered into the emergency room at Mercy at about 9 o'clock on Wednesday night. And the people who were sitting there waiting stood up to get out of my way. And the nurse, the triage nurse said, here's a mask, put it on. Here's an oxygen mask, put it on too. Not in that order, by the way. And here, I don't care what your name is, you're going in a room right now. I was in a room within 5 minutes of parking the car at the Mercy Hospital emergency room. And they stuck a what is traditionally known in my family as a finger number gauge on my finger. And my finger number, for those of you who care, was 85. Now that's oxygen saturation, and it's called the blood ox saturation measurement, not a finger number after all. But they said, you must have shortness of breath. Well, I didn't have shortness of breath. What I had was complete and utter confusion. What I had was a big pneumonia. And the rest is kind of downhill from there in terms of the story. The pneumonia from Wikipedia is an inflammatory condition of the lung, especially affecting the microscopic alveoli or air sacs, associated with fever, chest symptoms, whatever those might be, and a lack of airspace on a chest x-ray. Sounds like air traffic control, doesn't it, Jody? Pneumonia is typically caused by an infection, but there are a number of other causes. Don't you love Wikipedia? It goes on to say, pneumonia can be classified in several ways. It is most commonly classified by where or how it was acquired. It can also be like community acquired, aspiration, healthcare associated, hospital acquired. Boy, don't hang out with the medical community, you're liable to get pneumonia. Aspiration, by the way, means the inhalation of some foreign object, like water. From the wave pool. It can also be classified by the area of lung affected, bronchial pneumonia, lobar pneumonia, acute interstitial pneumonia. I don't know what I had because I didn't care. Pneumonia in children, that's me, can additionally be classified based on signs and symptoms as non-severe, severe, or very severe. Well, the doc said I had a big pneumonia. I like that word, big. It made me special. Fortunately, it didn't make me too special. Because in the elderly, confusion may be the most prominent symptom. Yeah, if I weren't so confused, I would have called the doc 2 days earlier. But I remember thinking, I can't get out of my chair. I was physically weakened to such a degree that I couldn't stand up out of a low chair. Now, I can't stand up out of this chair here either, by the way. But I was hoping that would be cured with my pneumonia, but it wasn't. It's like the piano player, or the man who wanted to play the piano, who went to the doctor and said, Doc, I need hand surgery. And the doc said, yes, you do. You have carpal tunnel syndrome. And the man said, will I be able to play the piano after? And the doc said, could you play it before? No. couldn't get out of a chair in August, couldn't get out of a chair in September, couldn't get out of a chair in October. It didn't matter whether I had pneumonia or not. However, I really couldn't get out of a chair after I got pneumonia. I couldn't get out of my bed. I couldn't stand up and I couldn't walk. And that's even if they would have let me. My favorite line in here, in the Wikipedia definition of pneumonia, is pneumonia is primarily due to infections, with less common causes, including irritants and the unknown. A causative agent is not isolated in approximately half of cases, despite careful testing. For people managed in the community, figuring out the causative agent is not a cost effect, is not cost effective, and typically does not alter management. Which is to say, they don't give a rip how you got it, because they can't figure it out. But my sister and my brother were smart enough to be able to figure it out, and they called me and said, "It's because you aspirated in the Pouet pool, you stupid dummy." Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. And we told the doctor, and she said, "Yes, that sounds logical to me. I will change your medication to aspiration pneumonia medication instead of the other kind," which meant it was oral instead of intravenous, which meant I could leave the hospital sooner rather than later. So they threw me out on a Sunday afternoon, actually. I was there from Wednesday night until Sunday afternoon, and they threw me out, and I ended up in the cloisters of Mission Hills. If you want to do rehab, the cloisters of Mission Hills is the absolute best place in the world to do it. It's a phenomenal place. How many of you visited me there? I can see three or four of you right here. Well, you will agree that it's a happy place. And they serve Kool-Aid twice a day. 10:30 in the morning and 4 in the afternoon. Yeah. And my Kool-Aid, of course, is sugar-free, because I'm also diabetic. So while I was at the cloisters of Mission Hills, I got physical therapy, occupational therapy, and from so many of you visiting, I even got mental and spiritual therapy. So it was really cool. And Barbara could throw a stone and hit me on the head from her house if she wanted to. But she didn't, no. But it's a beautiful setting in Mission Hills, and the people are all happy people, and, well, some of the inmates are less than happy, let's say. But that's a result of their illness rather than their attitude. Enough about pneumonia. I want to talk about the God stories and the idea of health and healthcare that's in the Bible. In James, it says, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." James 5:14-16. I thank you all for the prayers you held over me. And now I am both healed and sin-free. What's so funny about that?
And the lifeguards in the cabana. I thought we were so close.
Psalm 103 asks, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases?" And Jeremiah 30:17 answers, "For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord." You know, the power of prayer is an amazing tool for God, an amazing tool for God, because it works. And I thank you all for using it on my behalf. And for those of you who didn't, I thank you for using it on someone else's behalf, because I know that you pray. I learned a lot in the hospital and in rehab. I learned that life is short, that breath is precious. Millie's taught us for years that every breath is a God story. But until you don't know where your next one's coming from, you kind of tend to take that for granted. I learned that people in the healthcare industry can be happy, can be joyful, can be helpful, can be useful, and can want to serve you, and do, in fact, serve their customers, their patients, their inmates, if you will. For example, the first night I was in Mercy Hospital, I had a nice nurse and a nurse's assistant. They were Dinah and Doris, Dinah Shore and Doris Day. That's how I remember their names. And I asked Dinah if I could have a male nurse in the morning, a really cute one, I said. And she said no, she knew my incoming nurse was a woman. Turned out it was a woman named Dawn. She was the morning nurse. But in Mercy Hospital, at least, they write their names on a whiteboard. And Dawn came in, and she crossed out Dawn, and she wrote Dawn/Romeo. I kid you not. And Romeo was very cute, and he had a very cute friend, nurse's assistant named Michael. And the two of them took really good care of me. And my prayer was answered, because I had asked Dinah to get me a male nurse, and she didn't know she'd done it, but she had. So she was God's vehicle for answering my prayer, just as Vancine had been out of town until an hour before I called her. And she wouldn't have been able to take me to the hospital. I would have had to call somebody else. But Vancine is my designated driver. God's stories upon God's stories. Well, some of them not so godlike, but I looked out the window, and I know I was sick, because I discovered that I was hallucinating. I looked out the window of Mercy Hospital's sixth floor, looking out to the east, and I saw a really cool park that had like tunnels and had ladders and had a fountain. And 3 days later, I looked out the window and it was the air conditioning equipment on the top of the building next door. But I was happy to see such a lovely park. So it made my day, even though I hallucinated it. Now, I know that God wanted me to be happy, so he gave me a park. Another miracle God story. I was in Mercy Hospital during the blackout. I was just about to get on an elevator when the lights went out. Thank you, God. As I said, after the lights came back on again, because Mercy has the emergency generators, good thing we didn't get on the elevator yet, huh? Ha, 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 ha. And everybody else said, yeah, and I'm not so sure I want to now. But the generators had kicked in, and the only thing we lost was the television, which meant I couldn't see the Saints and the Packers. But that was the first game of the season, so there's a lot of football left to be seen. There are more God stories to share about my experience. What I learned from it is the most significant one, and that is that, which is denoted in a song by George Strait, which I've quoted before. Life's not the breaths you take. The breathing in and out that gets you through the day ain't what it's all about. You just might miss the point if you don't slow down the pace. Life's not the breaths you take. It's the moments that take your breath away. I never expected pneumonia to be a moment that took my breath away. But it's the same thing, isn't it? It's the important thing. That God said, Lindy, I've knocked you off your feet twice. I've nearly drowned you once. I've embarrassed you in the Old Town Mexican Cafe. And you still won't stop running at full speed. You need a break today, but not a bone. So I'm going to give you a way to take a month off. And I am so grateful for that month off. I lost 20 pounds. I eliminated my confusion. And now I know it's really important. And when I go back to work next week, I will do so with a completely different attitude. an attitude of praise and thanksgiving for the life that I'm given, and an attitude of, well, I'll graciously accept being there, let's say. And praise and thanksgiving for the paycheck that it brings me. And I'm so grateful for all of you for the cards and flowers and best wishes and prayers and visits and phone calls. And I really was incredibly supported by the congregation of this church. And I'm so grateful that I'm a part of this spiritual family. And thank you for giving me this time.